We're going to kind of recap what we studied last week here for just a couple of minutes. And last week we spoke from the Word of God on moving forward in Christ. Moving forward in Christ. And some of the things we discussed were this. And one of the tricks that the enemy will try to use in your life to keep you from moving forward with your life is your past. And friends, I'm here to tell us today that we've all had dysfunctional pasts. Pasts with regrets. You know, some of us might be thinking, I wish I would have, I could have, I should have. Friends, that is regretful thinking. Away with that. And some of us have messed up and sinned pretty heavily in the past. And the enemy would try to keep you stuck in the past, looking behind you, so that you cannot move forward with Christ. Amen? But there's good news. There's good news. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you became a brand new creation. So when you said, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, you became a brand new slate. And when God looked at you, He saw Jesus. He saw your sins as forgiven. He forgot your past. And that's the way we've got to start seeing ourselves. We've got to see ourselves as God sees us. And maybe some of you here today never have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. By the end of the meeting, you'll have an opportunity to do so. And, you know, when you accepted Jesus and you placed your faith in Jesus, Paul writes in Romans 5:1 that you became justified. And what does justified mean? Justified means just as if I had never sinned. When you accepted Jesus into your life, you were clothed with a robe of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ became yours. That's good news, right? That's good news. But the big question today is this. The big question is this. What about the years you have on this earth after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Remember what I just said. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, all the sins you committed up until that point of accepting Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. Let me say it again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, all the sins you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus were forgiven and forgotten by God. But the big question today is this. What about the years you have on this earth after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? You may have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior a year ago, 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But guess what? A lot of us in this room today have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years left on this earth. Let me ask you this. Do you think you can live any way you like and expect that God's grace will cover it automatically and that He will automatically forgive willful sins and offenses? Some people think so, but it's incorrect. Let me ask it again. Can you just live any way you like and expect that God's grace will cover it automatically and that He will automatically forgive willful offenses? No. And there's some teaching out there that says this, and it's incorrect in some circles, that you can live however you want to live. Just do what you like to do. God's grace will cover it. Friends, that is false theology. That is false theology. That is cheapening God's grace. That is taking advantage of God's grace. Yes, all the sins you committed up until the day you accepted Jesus were forgiven by God. But after you accepted Jesus as Savior, we've got to live righteous lives. If that makes sense. All right. You've got to make a very conscious effort to live righteously. Remember, when you accepted Jesus, the righteousness of Christ became yours. God saw you as a brand new creation. But after accepting Jesus as Lord, you now have got to make an effort diligently to live a righteous life. Now, let me read this to you. A little study I was doing. A survey that was done amongst Japanese and American parents. And it says this. Listen to this for just a second here. A recent survey of Japanese and American parents revealed much about the values that people in various cultures hold dear. The question was submitted to these parents. What do you wish most for your children? The leading response amongst Japanese parents was that they wanted their children to be successful, a reflection of the high value the Japanese place on marketplace success. The most frequent wish of American parents for their children was happiness, a reflection of our feel-good culture. But God's greatest desire for his children is neither success nor happiness, but instead that we be like him wholly in all that we do. And so let's turn to what Peter writes in 1 Peter, if you got a Bible, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 14 through 15. And this is what he writes to the people back then. It applies to us today. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. 1 Peter 1, 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Straight from the Word of God. He's telling us today, be ye therefore holy as God is holy. Not holy in just some areas of your life, holy in all areas of our lives. What does it mean to you that God is holy? What does the word holy mean? Living holy lives, righteous lives, after accepting Jesus as Savior. What is it? Honorable amongst all expectations. Anybody else? That's good.
Devotion to belief.
Devotion to belief. This brother says without sin. That's good. Those are all good. That God is holy means that he is completely separate from sin. God is completely separate from sin.
We're all going to mess up, but I mean, he'll have, if it's not a willing sin, like, I mean, if it's something you did intentionally, I don't think he's going to hold you near as accountable if you knew something was wrong.
Right. That's good. That God is holy means that God is completely separate from sin. It means that sin cannot stand in the presence of God for even a millisecond. Just like darkness cannot stand in the presence of light for even a moment in time. Think about it. If this room is pitch dark at night, at 12 midnight, it's pitch dark, you can't see anything, and you turn the switch on, immediately the darkness is dispelled by the light. Darkness cannot coexist with light. It's the same way with God and sin. Sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God, and a holy God cannot stand in the presence of even the smallest of sins. He is completely holy, righteous, and pure. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And if we're imitators of God, if we're followers of Christ, we need to be holy as God. We need to live holy lives just as God is holy. I'm not just preaching my own opinions. This is the Word of God. The Bible says it. Now, we need to fight to live holy, righteous, and pure lives. We've got to make a diligent, concerted effort to live holy, righteous, and pure lives before a holy God. Let me read to you about this little animal called the ermine. Anybody here ever heard of the ermine? Listen to this. Very interesting. In the forest of northern Europe and Asia lives a little animal called the ermine. He is best known for his snow-white fur. Instinctively, the small creature takes peculiar pride in his glossy coat. He protects it at all costs against anything that would soil it. Fur hunters take cruel advantage of the ermine in this respect. They do not set a snare to catch him, but instead they find his home, which is usually a cleft in a rock or a hollow in an old tree, and they daub the entrance and interior with filth. Then their dogs start the chase. Frightened, this ermine flees toward his home. He finds it covered within and without with uncleanness, and so rather than soil his white fur, he faces the yelping dogs and meets his death while preserving his purity. To the ermine, purity is dearer than life. Isn't that amazing? This little animal will die to keep its coat white and clean. He'll fight to the death. Isn't that amazing? Now, friends, I'm here to tell you today, I don't want to be outdone by some animal. How about you? Amen? We have got to fight, make an effort. We've got to strive to live holy lives. And there's some out there that teach, you know what? You don't have to strive to live a holy life. God's grace covers it. Just live like you want to live. Sin, 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 and God will forgive it. No, I don't think so. As followers of Jesus Christ, as believers in God, we have got to strive, we have got to fight, we have got to make a diligent, conscious effort to live holy and sanctified lives, set apart from sin, separate from sin, and set apart to God. Amen? Alrighty. Being holy as God is holy. Let's see what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 about being slaves to righteousness. Any questions we'll take at the end? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And this is what he writes. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to what?
Sin.
So that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And then he writes this in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of what? Slaves of, we are now slaves of righteousness. What does the word slave insinuate? If we're a slave to righteousness as followers of Christ, it insinuates that we are doing something. We are making an effort, a diligent effort, to live righteous and holy lives. We're slaves to it. We're day after day after day making this effort to please God, to be holy as God is holy, to live righteous lives, to live pure lives before an almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Willpower.
Willpower, but you know what? We've got God's strength and empowerment behind us. When we get weak, you're like, oh God, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't live a holy life. The pull of the flesh is too strong. When you get weak in your flesh, just pray to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm just too weak as a finite human being. And God will give you his divine supernatural strength to be holy as God is holy. Amen? Now, he writes, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:1. What does he say? He says this. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:1. If you got a Bible. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. He says to be what? Be what of God? He says to be what of God? He says to be imitators. Imitators of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be imitators of God? We gotta imitate God. And one of the main areas we need to imitate God in is in the area of holiness. Righteous living. We have got the responsibility, friends, after accepting Christ, to live righteously. It's not just going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We can't go into the Christian life thinking, man, you know what? I'm weak. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to succumb to the flesh and do whatever I want to do. But because I'm a Christian, God will forgive it. Nope. Sorry, that's wrong. And those who think that way and live that way will not enter the kingdom of God. It's in the scripture. So, in what areas of life are we to be holy as God is holy?
All areas.
All areas. With our what? Number one, with our bodies. We can either bow to sin with our bodies, or we can bow to doing what is holy with our bodies. Now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 16 through 17, that our bodies are the temple of God. How does the world say, what does sin say to do with your body? What does the sinful mindset say to do with your body? If you're bowing to sin, it says, just sleep with someone who's not your spouse. It's okay. God will forgive it. That's incorrect. Just smoke your lungs away. It's okay. That's incorrect. Friends, as believers in Christ, our bodies are God's temple. We need to treat them that way. We need to be holy. You sleep with the person who is your spouse. You don't burn your lungs up with those cigarettes. You don't keep getting high on drugs and messing up your body. See what I'm saying? Staying away from those things that harm your body is being holy with your body as God is holy. Is that making sense? All right. In what other area can we be holy as God is holy? What other area of our lives? We can be holy as God is holy with our minds. What does sin say to do with your mind? You can either bow to sin with your mind or you can bow to being holy as God is holy. Sin says this, the mind that is unrenewed, that is not following Christ, says, if somebody does you wrong, retaliate. Get even with that person. Because it's all about you, yourself, or me, myself, and I. That's what the sinful mind says to do. But a mind that is being renewed to be holy like God is holy says what? Does what? Forgives him instead. Exactly. Says, you know what? I'm not going to retaliate. I am not going to take it into my hands. I'm leaving it in the hands of God because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So a mind that is being renewed, that is being holy as God is holy, leaves it in the hands of God. God will take care of our enemies. Is that making sense? That making sense? Okay. And what other area could we be holy as God is holy? With our, okay, number one, with our bodies, our minds. Number three, our spirits. Our spirits. You can either bow to sin with your spirit, or you can bow to God's way of living, the holy life. How many here like to know what their future holds? What the next step to take is in your life, toward the bigger thing for your life? We all like to know what our future holds, right? Future holds. And there's people out there that are bowing to sin with their spirits, and they're going to palm readers. They're going to astrologers trying to find out what their life holds. And friends, I'm telling you, if you open your human spirit up to astrologers, palm readers, horoscopes, you are opening your spirit up for the enemy, for the devil to wreak havoc in your life. I even heard a guy one time that claims to be a Christian that says, you know what? God can speak to you through horoscopes. That's false. God does not speak to us through horoscopes. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit speaking to our human spirits. If you want to know what your future holds, turn to God, and His Spirit will communicate it to you. Amen? You know, sin says, just go to palm readers, horoscopes. God says, no, go to my spirit. Is that making sense today? In what other area could we be holy as God is holy? With our, number four, with our words. What does sin say to do with your words? You know, your words can either bow to sin and use all kind of four-letter words. And you know what? By the way, God's last name does not have four letters. Some people think it does. But it doesn't. You know, if you bow to sin with your words, you speak all kinds of four-letter words that are unclean and negative. But if we're striving to be holy as God is holy with our words, we're going to speak wholesome words, holy words, pure words, words that come straight from the Word of God, the Bible. Is that making sense? Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen? So we got to do away with the sewage words, the four-letter words, thinking that God's last name ends with four letters. It doesn't. We've got to do away with that as believers in Christ. If we're going to be holy as God is holy with our words, let's start speaking loving words, encouraging words, God-filled words. Amen? Amen. And God will give you the strength. And don't get me wrong today, friends. Holiness, being holy as God is holy, is not instant. It's not like when you say, Jesus Christ, be my Savior, that you instantly become holy. And every part of you becomes sanctified and holy. No, it doesn't happen that way. Holiness takes a process of time. Amen? It takes a process of time. It can take years before you overcome that cigarette addiction. You know, it could take some time before you overcome that drinking addiction or that drug addiction. But we've got to make an effort to overcome it by God's grace. We've got to go to groups that help us overcome those types of addictions. Is that making sense? It may take a while before some of the four-letter words leave our vocabulary, but they've got to leave over time if we consider ourselves and tell others that we're believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? And it doesn't happen instantly, so if it's not happening instantly in your life, don't be worried. Don't fret. God is working with you. God has got your back. He will give you the strength to overcome those weaknesses. And as you're trying to overcome the four-letter words, and as you're trying to overcome going to horoscopes, and as you're trying to overcome the addictions, and as you're trying to overcome some of these sins and weaknesses in your lives, guess what? You'll slip sometimes. And when you slip and you mess up, just confess it to God. What does John write in 1 John 1:9? What does he write? He says that if you sin, what do you do? If you sin, he says, if you confess that sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Is that good? All right. How many want to make it to heaven one day as we close? I want to go there. How about you?
I'm going there.
Let's see what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse 14. He says this in Hebrews 12, 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? He says, without holiness, none of us will see God. That's the Bible, straight from Hebrews. If we're not living holy lives when Jesus comes back, or when our lives end, guess what? We will not see the Lord in heaven one day. I don't want to be in that boat. How about you? It's in line with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he says. Jesus says this. He says, enter through the narrow gate, Matthew 7:13. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction and hell. And those that are teaching out there that you live however you want, they're teaching the wide road, the road that leads to hell. But Jesus said, on the other hand, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, to eternal life. And only a few find it. I don't want to go down Broadway. How about you? I want to go down the narrow way with my life, because that's what leads to eternal life. And he says, only a few will find the narrow road. What does the narrow road include? It includes living a what kind of life?
Holy.
A holy life, as God is holy. So if you slip up in the days and in the weeks to come, and that four-letter word comes out and you curse at somebody, or you just say a cuss word, just immediately say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. Forgive me. I won't do that again. When your big toe gets stubbed or somebody steps on your foot, don't cuss. Just say, God, help me. Is that making sense? You know, when somebody is drinking in front of you and you've had an alcoholic addiction, just step away from that crowd in Jesus' name. Do something else. Reshift your focus. Leave that scene. Amen? If somebody's looking at something with their eyes they shouldn't be looking at and they're inviting you to look with them, just leave the scene. Walk away. If you've had a weakness in that area. Making sense? You're trying to find out what your future holds? Don't look at the horoscope. Go to the Spirit of Almighty God. And if you get weak and you're like, God, I can't do this. My flesh is so strong, God, I can't do this. And I'm just weak within myself. My flesh is pulling on me. God, give me your strength. God will supernaturally and divinely empower you to stay away from those things that would try to drag your soul to hell. Amen?